are. Now, just give me a minute here. We want to remain biblically humble and not forget where God has brought us from. But there's a difference between that and Satan reminding you of the shame and the guilt and weighing your shoulders down to where you can't even move. And when that happens, the place we need to go to is, it's not about my past, it's not about my performance, it's about my placement in Jesus Christ. It's about who I am in Him. Maybe my performance has not always been what it should be, but it's about who, not who I am, but who I am in Jesus Christ. That's why we boast in Him and in His resurrection. So let us remain biblically humble, and as the Bible says, not to think more of ourselves than we ought to. At the same time, let's not forget who we are now in Jesus Christ. That we are, He has made us, as He said in His Word, overcomers. That we're not greater, but greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Let us not forget who we are now in Him. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. I just know that God has been dealing with me and with that truth. And I feel that anytime God deals with us on something, it's probably not just supposed to remain with us. It's probably a good idea to share it because there might be somebody else that God's dealing with in the same way. Or maybe I'm just thanking Him this morning for that wonderful truth. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, and if you'll find verse 13. We're going to read the rest of the chapter and probably get into chapter 6 this morning. She could at least let me get started. Give her something to cry about. I like that sound, don't you? I like that sound, especially in a church. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 13 says, "There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail, and he begetteth a son, and there's nothing in his hand. As he came forth out of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? All his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness. Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him. For it is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart." Now we'll stop there and see how far we get. And if we get into chapter 6, we get into chapter 6. I think we will, because there's not a lot of expounding that needs to be done on these verses here. They're pretty easy to understand. And the next couple of chapters really kind of deal with the same thing. They deal with the folly of living for wealth and living for the things of the world. And that being our drive in life, the thing that we're after is to just amass the wealth of this world. And if a man sets his sight on that, and that's what life is all about, and that's what is important, he'll come up empty every time. Oh, his bank account may be full, but the reserve of peace that he has will come up empty every time. Because there's always going to be some new thing that he needs or wants. And the funny thing about that is the book of Ecclesiastes tells us there's no new thing under the sun. No new thing. But we're looking at the folly not only of living for the wealth and the riches of the world, but specifically in this chapter, this second part of this chapter, what we're looking at is a man who will build up those things and amass those things and hoard that wealth and keep piling and piling and piling and piling. And possibly he thinks that's going to give him all the peace and security that he needs, whatever the reason is. We're talking about someone who's not only living for the things of the world, we're talking about someone who's just piling it up as high as he can pile it in this passage here. And verse 13, it says, there is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. Did you know you could pile up so much stuff it could hurt you? If you pile up riches, it can turn into a major problem for you. What kind of problem could there be? We recognize that finances are important. We recognize that it helps to have some money in the bank if you can. It helps to make some plans so that if the car breaks down or you break down, you don't have to, you don't have to go begging. We understand that. But there's a point at which a man begins to pile up so much that it can end up turning around and hurting him. How could that happen? Well, could we not say that it's very easy? We see it in the Scripture, which is what matters. We see it in the Scripture. Then we also see it every day. Could we not say that men oftentimes, the more they have, the more they trust in what they have? The more they think their riches will bring peace, will bring contentment, will bring joy, will bring happiness, and it may bring some of those things for a little while. Especially happiness. Happiness is pretty easy to get. Peace and joy are two totally different things, though. And so we see people, we see it in the Bible. Solomon tells us that he was one of these guys that did this, and he found out it was all a waste. And we read about a man, I believe it's in the book of Luke, we read about a man who had so much that he built barns. He tore down his old barns and he built more barns to hold everything, and sat back and looked at all that he had and told his soul to be at ease because he thought everything was taken care of. And God said to him God told him he was a fool because his soul would be required of him this night. All he had couldn't square him with God. All you have can't square you with God. All you do can't square you with God. There is no getting square with God outside of putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. That's it. And the only part you play in that is to quit running and to repent and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He did all the work. So a person that builds up wealth, one of the ways, verse 13 tells us that they can turn to our hurt, one of the ways is that a man might trust in riches rather than trusting in God. 1 Peter chapter 5 tells us, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. All of my care is supposed to be, I'm supposed to put everything in the hands of God, aren't I? And trust Him. Proverbs chapter 3, we know that well-known passage, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. What's the first part of that? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Not that I trust in my riches 10% and I trust in God 90%. Not that I trust in my riches 1% and I trust in God 99%. Well, God, you've got 99%. All means all, doesn't it? With all thine heart. So if we amass riches and pile up riches, they could turn to our hurt. And again, we want to repeat what we've been saying the whole time, that it is not a sin to be blessed financially by God. It is a sin not to realize that God brought about the blessing. It is a sin to have the wrong attitude about it. It is a sin to not be a good steward of it. Whatever your portion is, be it little or be it a lot, or right in the middle somewhere. Or maybe one week of the month it's one end of the scale, and the next week you're at another end of the scale. It's to have the right attitude and say, Lord, it's all from you. So if we're not careful, we won't trust in God the way that we should. If you look back at verse 12, there's another way that it can hurt us. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. The more you have, the more you have to worry about. The more you have to mess with. The more you have on your plate, so to speak. Hey, how about this? The more vehicles you own, the more insurance you have to pay. Then you have three teenagers all at once, which only none of them have their license yet, but he's on the insurance. And when we sat down and talked with the insurance agent, that was like our big thing. What's this going to do to us? Are we going to poorhouse? Okay, so the more cars you have, the more insurance, the more tires that wear out and go bad. That doesn't mean go home and if you have three cars, put two of them for sale. That means have the proper attitude about it and realize that the more stuff you have, the more stuff you have to worry about. That's what verse 12 is talking about. If we don't view it the way that we should, that it's a gift from God, and if we're not a good steward of it, we'll think that we're in control and we'll worry ourselves to death over it. But if we see it as a gift from God and say, Lord, just help me be a good steward of it, then we can handle it with Him, with His help. But see, they can turn to our hurt because they cause us to be self-reliant, and they can rob us of our rest. Some people spend night after night after night after night laying awake, worrying about things. Worrying about their things. Or how am I going to get that thing? How am I going to budget to make this happen and do that? And how am I going to get that taken care of? And, oh, what am I going to do with all of that? And then they come to the end of their life. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but some people come to the end of their life and now it's, okay, who's getting what? I think everybody's will should just say, you all figure it out. I'm gone. And we see people come to the end of their life and try to figure out who's getting what and where am I leaving this and who's going, boy, that'll make them mad if I leave that there. And you see how having the wrong outlook on material possessions can just turn your life upside down, rob you of your rest, keep you from relying on God. And then look what happens here too. It says in verse 14, but those riches perish by evil travail, and he begetteth a son, and there's nothing in his hand. How many men have squandered what they had, and by the time their kids came along, there was nothing left for them? Hey, I would say that working and putting some money back to be there for your children would be a good motivation, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you say, putting something back to, I think kids ought to go out and earn their own way, but parents, you know, putting back a little bit, passing something along, nothing wrong with that, I don't believe. I don't believe the Bible tells us anywhere that we can't leave something to our children. But here you've got a guy that had the wrong view of what he had, of his material possessions, and then they're gone. Maybe he squandered them. Maybe he didn't squander them, he just made a bad business decision and lost his shirt. So if he was working toward, hey, I've got all of this and it's going to be a great thing that I can leave to my son, hope your life isn't revolving around that, because you may lose that tomorrow and not have anything to leave to your son. So men make foolish decisions and squander things, and then they have nothing left because they've lost it all. And the Bible points out another truth here in verse 15. As he came forth out of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor which he may carry away in his hand. You're going out the way you came in. That's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. We all came in basically like Kennedy right now, screaming and hollering and throwing a fit. And some people go out screaming and hollering and throwing a fit, don't they? That little baby back there brought nothing into this world. What she has, God has made it possible for her parents to clothe that child and feed that child, and that has blessed that child with good parents to take care of her and everything, but she had nothing when she came in. None of us did, and we'll leave with nothing. We'll leave with nothing. Oh, sometimes people place things in a casket, little mementos and tokens, and but that's going to the ground. We're not taking that to the next life. That's not going with us. Only what's done for Christ will last. If you ever sit down and prioritize your day, your week, your month, your life, a good thought to begin with is this, as you start to prioritize and plan, a good thing to keep in mind is this: only what's done for Christ will last. That will help you not to spend too much time on the wrong things. Only what's done for Christ will last. That will help me not to spend too much time in the areas where I shouldn't. Doesn't mean we won't sometimes, but it'll sure help us to move in the right directions, won't it? Verse 17 says, "All his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness." What does that mean? This man has built up and he's put his faith in his riches, and then he's lost it. He has nothing to leave his son. He didn't enjoy anything. Could not enjoy anything at all. All his days also he eateth in darkness. Don't you hate being alone? I do. I just don't like being alone. I know sometimes we say, "I like to get alone with God." I know what we mean when we say that, but we're never really alone, are we? We get alone with God, we mean it's just the two of us. Where can we go where God isn't? Okay? And I don't know about you, but I just, you know, once in a while we like a few minutes. We like a few minutes or maybe an hour or so to kind of breathe and pray and think. But me, when that drags on, I don't like it. Sometimes Amy and the kids will go to her mom's and maybe spend the night, help her mom do some work and some things there, and I'm home alone. And I don't know if you're like me, but in those situations, I can't hardly sleep. I mean, you're just restless because things aren't right. People don't like being alone. Look, it says, "All his days also he eateth in darkness." He can't even enjoy what God has allowed him to have because he doesn't have the right attitude about it. He doesn't see it as a gift from God. "And he hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness." And then we see a picture of another man here in verses 18 through 20. It says, "Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion." What this man should have done that we just read about, what he should have done was enjoyed what he had when he had it and enjoyed it with his family. And if he sat something aside or put something in savings, his life shouldn't have revolved around that. His ambition in life shouldn't have been to build up as much as he could in the short time that he has. He should have enjoyed the blessings of God. And verse 18 tells us about what it's like when you do that. Says it's good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor. Enjoy it. The Bible doesn't doesn't condone us being frivolous. It doesn't condone us just wasting riches. We are to be good stewards of what God has entrusted us with. But one of the ways that we are a good steward is to, like it says right here, enjoy what God has blessed us with. And so we see a man that can enjoy life, and then we see a man that can. And we're to enjoy it and not to live to excess. That would be against Scripture. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. Now, if you're like me, you read that and there's a line that stands out to you. The line in that verse that stands out to me is, and hath given him power to eat thereof. Okay, just hang on to that for a minute. We're going to deal with that here in just about 10, 15 seconds. Verse 20 says, for he shall not much remember. This is talking about the man who has the proper view of what God's blessed him with and who enjoys the blessings of God. For he shall not much remember the days of his life because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. What does that mean, he doesn't remember the days of his life? What does it mean that he loses his memory? And it doesn't mean that he can't remember anything. What it means is this. The man that has the proper view of what God has blessed him with, what God has entrusted him with, when he comes to the end of his days, he won't remember the hard times. He won't remember the pain. He won't remember the loss, the suffering. He's not going to remember the negative things because the joy that God has given him will far overshadow any pain that he went through or any loss or any hard times. That's what that last verse is talking about. When we have the right attitude, when we have the right attitude, we won't look back and be encumbered with the hard times. We'll take the joys that God has given us, and we'll see that there's no comparison between that and the little bit of pain that we went through. We'll look at them and we'll say, really? Now, really? You won't even be able to compare them. But we go over into chapter 6, and it flows right over because, like I said, there's a few chapters here that all basically deal with the same thing. We go over to chapter 6. Pardon me. Let's at least look at the first two verses. I want to keep in mind that we have a short meeting, and so we'll see how long it takes us in these first two. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun and is common among men, a man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. Here's a man that God has given blessings to, and the Bible says he didn't give him power to eat thereof or to enjoy it. And you go back to chapter 5, verse 19, and it says, every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof. This is the gift of God. So we look at this and we say, we have to remember our hermeneutics, okay? Our method of interpreting the Bible. We have to interpret in light of the scope of Scripture, what the entire Bible says, what we know to be true about God. Because it looks like in chapter, here's what it looks like it says. It looks like God gives blessings to everybody when we just look at these two verses. And some people, he says, I'm going to let you enjoy them. Too bad. You're not going to enjoy them. That's what it looks like. That God gives some people the ability to enjoy them, and some people, they don't have the ability to enjoy them. And if that's all it means right there on the surface, then where is the will of man that God has given us? The free will that he's given us. Okay? And why would the Bible tell us to be a good steward of what God's given us? It sounds like I don't really have a choice. He's either going to make it so that I enjoy it, or he's going to make it so that I don't. And why is my attitude addressed all through Scripture about how I view things if God's just going to make me do it one way or another? Because we know from the scope of Scripture that God isn't going to just make you do things one way or another. So because of what we know to be true about God from other Scripture and what we know other Scripture says, we know that these verses are not saying what they seem like they say on the surface. It's not saying that God gives blessings to everybody and then picks certain people to enjoy them and then other people not to. Okay? Why would the book of Ecclesiastes even matter if that were the case? It wouldn't matter. So what does it mean? It can't mean that. So what does it mean? You view what God has entrusted you with and what God has blessed you with the right kind of attitude. This is a gift and a blessing from God, and I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to use it properly. Accordingly, I'm going to deal with it the way God wants me to. I'm going to be a good steward of it. Then God will allow you to enjoy what it is He's given you if you receive it the way that you're supposed to. You don't, you're not getting any joy out of it. So God gives these good things to everybody. And then, whether or not God gives us the ability to enjoy them, that depends on what my response is. God gives it, I respond correctly, and then God makes it so I can enjoy it. God gives it, I don't respond correctly, I'm not enjoying it. Let me give you a real quick biblical example of this. The man that penned this book that we're reading. The book of Ecclesiastes is Solomon telling us, he's admitting to us, that God blessed him, and for years he did not acknowledge that the blessing was from God. And his heart was full of vexation of spirit. Perfect example. Solomon was a man that God had blessed greatly, and he's admitting to us in this book, for years I didn't acknowledge that it was from God, and I had the wrong attitude. And this is a pretty negative book, isn't it? Vanity, travail, sore evil, vexation of spirit. All right, walk out of church feeling great this morning, don't we? Absolutely. Because we're given this book so that we'll learn what not to do, what not to think, how not to act. So if we will realize where it comes from and respond accordingly, we'll be able to take pleasure and enjoyment in it. If not, it's not happening. Oh, well, there'll be that temporary enjoyment. There's always that temporary happiness. But you can end up in one of two places. You can end up, verse 17, all his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness. Or we can respond accordingly. And verse 20, for he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. So the folly of trusting in riches is not just because they fade away. They can hurt us in that we can become reliant upon them rather than God. They can take our rest away from us. We don't deal with them correctly. We might not have anything to leave for someone if that's what we want to do. And if we don't respond correctly, It may be that God doesn't even allow us to enjoy because we don't realize where the gift came from to start with. All right, let's pray and then we'll sing a closing hymn. Have a real quick meeting and then we'll dismiss. Heavenly Father, I ask that as we walk out of here today that we would be changed and that we would realize that the things of this world are vanity, they're empty, they'll fade away, and to realize that every good gift and every perfect gift is from you. Help us to have that attitude in everything and to realize that only what we do for you is going to last. I pray that you just take these passages and this sermon and deal with us individually how we need to be dealt with this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.